Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology through exclusive interviews with leading industry experts and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Carrie Nagorka. Today, I'm joined by Bernard Cohen, MD, Professor of Pediatrics and Dermatology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. Today, he's discussing winter flare-ups and how where you live can impact your condition, and some interesting new information on treating newborns.
Hi, this is Bernard Cohen. I go by Buddy to be friendly to you. I am a professor of pediatrics and dermatology at Johns Hopkins in their transitional retirement program, but we still play a lot with writing and talking and teaching and whatever. We do have, as a pediatric dermatologist, I do have a special interest in atopic dermatitis, which is probably, it's probably the most common condition that we see in the pediatric age group. I mean, when you get to adolescence, certainly we see a lot of acne, but in the younger children, it probably accounts for the most common thing that we see. And one of the things we were talking about, you and I were talking about a bit short while ago was, atopic dermatitis and the change of seasons. And we certainly see an increased number of patients coming back for follow-up or referred in by their pediatricians this time of year. I mean, again, beginning at late spring, early summer, late fall, early winter, those are probably some of the peak times when we see flares related to environmental issues. I mean, certainly when the heat goes on, when the temperature goes down outside, the heat goes on, those may be issues that trigger an exacerbation of atopic dermatitis in any age group, but particularly in the young children. And it's often a time where even if someone has relatively mild atopic dermatitis and they haven't been doing much, say, over the summer, early fall, this is the time when they will need to, or the parents of these kids or the older patients, they will need to introduce emollients if they haven't been using moisturizers, particularly over the summer. They may have done better then. One of the other things that we sort of came up, we've looked at sort of in terms of the environmental issue is, as I think, kind of interesting too. And that is there is data over the last 15 or 20 years looking at the prevalence of atopic dermatitis. And it turns out that the number of patients with atopic dermatitis has increased significantly, particularly in the developed world. And again, there is good data to show that in rural communities, that the issues with atopic dermatitis are much lower than in urban communities. And this is data that comes not only from the U.S. in big cities, but also from Europe, where they've actually seen a dramatic increase in the prevalence of atopic dermatitis, particularly in urban settings. In fact, there are a number of studies which have looked at urban settings versus rural settings, demonstrating a significant difference with a much higher prevalence in the urban settings. And again, I think a lot of people, there is some data to suggest that pollution and other things that are present naturally in an urban setting can predispose to exacerbation or appearance of atopic dermatitis.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Why? What those factors are?
Well, again, the seasonal changes have to do, I'm sure, with changes in the temperature, changes in humidity. So if you have decreasing humidity and lower temperatures, it certainly could be a time when your atopic dermatitis flares. You know, indoors, the heat is on. So again, the humidity is lower and all that may play a role, those of us who are urban dwellers. But when you look at the data of urban dwellers versus rural dwellers, it looks like, environmental issues, particularly related to environmental contaminants with urbanization, are thought to play a significant role in to explain that much more dramatic prevalence of atopic dermatitis.
There's some new data out about newborns.
And yes, we were talking about that briefly too. I think the Europeans kind of beat us to this, but there are a number of studies in the American literature looking at potential ways of decreasing the risk of young children developing atopic dermatitis. So a number of studies have looked at taking children who are at high risk. So children who have, say, a very strong family history of atopic dermatitis and or other atopic phenomena, such as asthma, respiratory, respiratory illnesses, other types of allergic sort of phenomena, atopic phenomena, and randomize it. There are quite a few studies out there, again, particularly in Europe, but also we are catching up here, looking at taking these children who are high risk and doing a couple things with them to potentially decrease the risk of them actually developing clinical disease. One of those has been to take children after, in the first few weeks of life and starting them on moisturizers. And looking at a number of these studies, looking at children who were placed on moisturizers that are often used in atopic dermatitis, like Aquaphor, petroleum jelly, things of that sort, Eucerin, putting those kids on moisturizers a couple times a day versus the control group where they just recommend the providers in charge have recommended that their pediatricians just do whatever they do for normal skincare, no specific recommendations. And it's gone both ways. There are a number of studies that show that by introducing moisturizers in the first couple of weeks of life and following out for at least 4 to 6 months, that you may actually decrease the risk of these high-risk children developing signs and symptoms of atopic dermatitis when you compare it to children who have, in the control group, have not been recommended to use emollients particularly. Again, it gets a little bit confusing because when you look at the studies out there, both in the European literature, who are ahead of us, and in the American literature, that actually introducing emollients may not alter the risk of them developing atopic dermatitis. And the other thing that's been interesting is that if you we looked at children, there is some literature to suggest that children with atopic dermatitis early on may be at increased risk of developing food allergy. And we've been involved in some studies in the past, and there are a number of studies looking at introducing what are considered to be high-risk foods, so like eggs and peanuts and things of that sort. And then, when at the time when children would be introduced to food, so like by, 4 to 6 months of age, by exposing them to foods that contain these quote-unquote antigens that might be at significant risk. And there is some data to show that by introducing these things early on, you may actually decrease the risk of them developing other things in the atopic march. There's some data that goes back and looks, for instance, at peanuts, and we were involved in the peanuts. I don't know if anybody out there knows what Bamba is. It's like for baby, it's like little stuff that people use for teething. It comes in a bag, and a lot of people eat it. they don't want to eat peanuts, but they want to eat this sort of like chips and things that have peanut antigen in them. They taste like peanuts, but they're not hard peanuts. And so what's interesting is that when people looked at parts of the world where children are exposed to peanut antigen, peanut containing foods early in life, compared to those which do not do that, they actually found that there was a dramatic decrease in peanut allergy later on. So that's where the whole idea of introducing it, and there have been some studies here in the US where we've been involved with introducing peanut antigen like Bamba or something else that might be associated with, like eggs and things that might be associated with food allergy in these atopic patients, and have actually shown that we can decrease their risk of developing a significant food allergy. This is kind of cool.
That's very interesting. Absolutely. One more question before we wrap this up. Going back to seasonal changes, What is your advice to parents whose children or adults who suffer from atopic dermatitis and are seeing an increase in symptoms this time of year, and their typical over-the-counter, Aquaphor isn't doing the trick?
Well, again, if it's an adult or it's a child, it's important, especially if they have not been incorporating standards of care like a reasonable use of emollients. This may be the time of year for people who flare in the fall to start it. So even if they see just very minimal activity on the skin, it's a time to begin their traditional protocol. So aggressive use of moisturizers, using clothing that keeps the skin from getting really cold and drying out. But it's also a time for introducing medications that they may have used in the past when they've had activity, the year before, and they've actually had a good summer, say, for instance. So again, if it's in, especially in children, if it's on extremities, maybe on younger children on the extensive surfaces of the extremities and older children in the flexural creases, it may be a time when they can introduce either over-the-counter topical steroids, or if it's more moderate or severe, before they move to other things, to use a moderate potency or even for short periods of time, higher potency topical steroids, and then tapering on and off. But again, often initiating low potency medications with the first signs of activity, in addition to using emollients, following the rule that, like, when you get out of the bathtub, within 3 minutes, applying your lubricants aggressively. That's a time to sort of initiate it so that you can maybe shut it down. If things flare up more severely and you're looking at more potent topical corticosteroids, maybe considering other topical agents. Got in the list of things that's increased dramatically. As a pediatric dermatologist, we're particularly interested in those things which can be used in sensitive areas. So if you have a child who, or an adult too, who's got a flare of activity, particularly in a sensitive area like on the face or in an armpit or in the diaper area in a baby, then using non-steroidal agents or short courses of topical steroids, backing off to emollients only, but if they have severe disease, using non-steroidal agents, particularly topical agents in these areas. Now, the other, we don't have time to discuss this, but I think your readers are going to be very much aware of the fact that there has been a dramatic increase in the introduction of new agents. We have phosphodiesterase inhibitors. We've got all sorts of, we've got the JAK inhibitors. We've got all sorts of other things. And what's interesting is that a number of these have actually been introduced as topical agents. So again, I think it reduces the risk of systemic toxicity, because although there is some absorption, you have to certainly worry about it. You've got to be aware of that. But again, when you get to the biological agents, especially if they have severe disease, you've got all sorts of things. You've got dupilumab, you've got the JAK inhibitors, you've got, again, phosphodiesterase, PDE4 inhibitors, and other sorts of things. And it's important to look at the potential for side effects and monitoring, depending on which agents your patients will require.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.